Yeah, thanks for organizing this conference. It's so far been really interesting. In the morning, you have heard a lot about measurements in quantum field theories. This talk will be related, but not exactly the same thing. So we are not studying measurement, but rather an average effect of measurement, which is also known as defacing or decoherence. So this work is about applying a defacing channel to a CFT and see whether it has any interesting effects. And turns out that it has very unexpected result, which is quite interesting. And let me first introduce my collaborators. Shengqi is a student here, and he will be in the job market. And also Tim is a faculty at Perimeter. Let me introduce the motivations. Like, we actually have many motivations to study the decoherence on CFTs. So the first motivation comes from quantum simulation. Nowadays, there are a lot of quantum simulation experimental platforms. They can do very interesting stuff. Usually people regard this as a new kind of experimental protocol to study quantum many-body physics. And it definitely has many advantages compared to traditional condensed matter platforms. This quantum simulation is supposed to go beyond classical capabilities in most of the time. The best thing of it is that it can control individual qubits in the sense that you can apply a unitary gate, you can apply measurement. So that makes it a wonderful platform for studying the dynamics with measurement, driving, or decoherence. But it also has some drawbacks, especially nowadays. It is increasingly debatable whether quantum computing can really do good things nowadays, because it's really noisy. If you want to overcome this issue, you need large-scale quantum error correction, but it's currently not available. That makes us to think about what's the effect of noise on quantum many-body state, which is inevitable in current stage quantum computers. And the second motivation comes from measurement-induced dynamics, which you have heard about. Let me just make it more precise. In this case, we are considering POVM, which have operators defined as MAs and satisfy the constraint, which makes the probability conserving. And after the measurement, you have a starting state rho, but after the measurement, you become an ensemble of state. PA, which is labeled by A with probability PA, and each state is rho A, and has the expression shown above. And so basically, after the measurement, your state becomes a trajectory, like an ensemble of state. And if you do measurement many, many times, it will be a huge ensemble. That's very different from the usual unitary dynamics, or where you stay with one state forever. But here you actually have an ensemble of state, so you should be careful defining what's the observable that you should study here, because it's not one state. But interestingly, people, especially in the condensed matter community, have found very interesting behaviors in this measurement-induced dynamics. One example is that when they consider random unitary gates plus local measurement, then they show that there's a volume law to area law phase transition by tuning the measurement rate, and at the critical point, you see some emergent conformal invariance. This is a hot topic several years ago. And nowadays, people start to study if we put some non-trivial quantum state and we just study the measurement on that state, what would happen? One example you have already heard in the first talk today is about measuring some SPD state. People also study when you do measurement on the ground state of a CFT. And interestingly, people find that here you still have some entanglement phase transition, but here the transition is not driven by the measurement rate, but the measurement of basis. So it becomes it could be logarithmic entangled or the area law entangled, depending on you measure different basis. This measurement is very interesting. It can enhance or destroy correlations, as opposed to quantum channels, which can only destroy correlations but not enhance it. So this raised a very interesting question of like how the measurement could act on the state. But here we are not studying measurement; we are studying decoherence. But I would like to mention one very important aspect that is shared, among all this work and also my work. This is that this phase only exists when we consider nonlinear observables of density matrix. If you consider a linear observable of density matrix, then actually this measurement acts as the same way as a defacing, because the average effect of measurement is just defacing. But this measurement induced phenomena really depend on you do post selection, that you do a trajectory average of observables. So that only interesting thing only happens when you consider nonlinear observables, such as entanglement entropy. So that's a crucial difference. And here, let me say a little bit more about another motivation, which is a mixed state phase of matter. We have defined quantum phases in quantum matter physics. Usually it's defined in terms of symmetry breaking order. But nowadays, people think about phases are characterized by long-range entanglement, which include topological phase. And in the case of mixed state, people also know that there's some finite temperature phase transition, which is characterized by the Landau paradigm. But interestingly, nowadays there's another type of phase transition that is relatively less explored, which is transitioning information theoretical properties. One such prominent example is toric code on the local decoherence. And if you tune the decoherence too large, then the toric code loses the ability to store quantum information. And this is not like a Landau paradigm, it's not symmetry breaking. And this work will study CFT ground state on the decoherence, and we will see that there's also a phase transition, and this phase transition is related to the code properties of the CFT. And also it's not symmetry breaking, so it's really forced until this new kind of phase transition. So let me be more precise on the setup. So I give you the ground state of the CFT, which is denoted as psi, and then I do some decoherence, which is denoted as the channel n. And this n is local, like it's independent noise model, which means it's product of all the sites. And in particular, we will consider defacing channels, which is the effect of measurement, but you forget about the measurement outcome. So the question is, what is the entanglement properties of this defaced state? But first, let me mention that if you just look at linear observables, such as correlation functions, then basically there's nothing that could change. But when you consider entanglement properties, then there's really a lot that could change. So this is our result. So the first result is that entanglement quantities, they can change abruptly as we tune decoherence, which means that even if you tune on the decoherence a little bit, some entanglement quantities, they can go from logarithmic scaling to areal scaling. So specifically, we are considering these type of quantities, which are like entanglement entropy or logarithmic connectivities. And as I mentioned, that the key is that these things, they are nonlinear density matrix. So that is really what makes it that can change abruptly. More precisely, more concretely, we find a series of entanglement of phase of matter that is connected by RG flow. So this RG flow is really some new kind of RG flow that is not related to partition functions. Let's take one example that is a critical Ising model, and you act with defacing noise. Then describe like the different directions of the defacing, and we find by applying the defacing, you get this type of RG flow. And this RG flow, they really characterize how the quantum information property behaves in the mixed state. For example, a relevant deformation, for example, you turn on an X defacing of the Ising model, then basically, even if you turn on a little bit of X defacing, you almost destroy all the long-range entanglement. But on the other side, an irrelevant defacing like Y, you basically preserve all the long-range entanglement, but Z defacing is kind of marginal in between, it's destroying some, but not all. So yeah, that's colloquial by this time, but I will make more precise, like quantitative, result later. Okay, so yeah, this slide kind of introduce all the entanglement quantities that we study. You should be quite familiar with that, like these entanglement entropies and the Rényi generalizations. In order to be analytically trackable, we actually need to consider Rényi entropies rather than von Neumann entropies. That's unfortunate, but yeah, we studied the Rényi entropies. These Rényi entropies, they measure the correlations between system and the environment. That's the key. Like, it does not just measure the correlation inside the system, but it also cares about the environment. Mutual information is different. It only cares about the correlations inside the system. But it doesn't distinguish you from quantum correlations and classical correlations. So on the other hand side, you could define an activity which supposedly to only describe quantum correlations. For a classical mixture state, this activity quantity is zero. But we are going to study the Rényi inactivities, which is whose quantum information meaning is less clear, but yes, it's usually what people do in quantum field theory. So yeah, this is the Rényi version, which is the moment of the partial transpose density matrix. Okay, so let me remind you how these quantities behave in the ground state. So for ground state, it's a pure state. So entanglement quantities is more or less just just characterized by Smith spectrum. So for example, this entanglement entropy has the well-known logarithmic form, and if you care about mutual information between A and the complement of A, then you get two times the Rényi entropies, and if you care about negativities, or it's also just the entropy, and the mutual information is actually less. A bit less non-trivial. It also depends on the operator content. The polynomial decay would be characterized by the lowest scaling dimension. Okay, that's for pure state. So this work will be studying the mixed state, which comes from this pure state under decoherence. So let me just make one technical slide about all the theoretical framework in this work. How do we map these entanglement quantities to boundary quantum field theory? Let's consider this entanglement entropy quantity, and then it can also be expressed as the expectation value of the twist operators on the n copies. This part is just rewritten of the density matrix where it comes from the pure state under decoherence, and then finally we apply the dual channel to the operators. The dual channel is is defined in this way that you do not change the expectation values by moving this n to n star. So that makes you an expectation value of an operator that is purely with the ground state of the CFT. And if you draw it as a passing integral, then you see that you have a CFT with two n copies, and then you have a boundary condition which is characterized by this operator. On the interval A, you put some boundary conditions, but on another interval A bar, the complement interval A bar, you put nothing. You put identity boundary condition. So that's the path integral that corresponds to these Rényi entropies. And it's known that when you pick A to be the whole system, then the whole thing equals to the boundary entropy. This log gn, they describe the partition function of the cylinder, after you take the log, you get the Rényi entropies, and that is already a non-trivial statement that this defaced CFT state have a volume law entanglement, and then they are universal constant piece that is related to boundary entropy. So what are the boundary entropies? Let's take the IC model as an example again. So now we consider defacing in the XZ plane where you have a theta. Your defacing direction has a theta angle in this XZ plane. And I remind you that the defacing channel looks like this way. And after you apply the defacing channel, you can try to extract the boundary entropy by the previous slide, that is the constant part of the volume law state. And then this is the numerical result. So you see that when your system size becomes larger and larger, that is you are more and more close to a field theory limit, you see that the change of the boundary entropy becomes very sharp. So basically, it's zero when theta is zero, and when theta, whenever it's non-zero, it becomes this value. And when theta goes to one, it goes to another value, and just in the middle, it's just even lower. So basically, in this case, we find three RG fixed points. So this point doesn't change with system size, and this region doesn't change with system size, and also this point doesn't change with system size. So and they have three different boundary entropies. And this slide is just showing that. This figure is just showing that it is a phase transition rather than a crossover. We can make a nice collapse with system size. Okay, so in the end, from this calculation of boundary entropy, what we gain is a figure of RG flow. If you have identity channel, this log G quantity equal to zero, and when you have X defacing or the defacing in the middle or the Z defacing, you get different log G quantities, and you observe such an RG flow as you increase the system size. And actually, since we mentioned that this G quantity is the boundary entropy, so yeah, you also heard a talk on Monday that you know this boundary entropy is not reversible on the RG flow, so it's monotonic, it can only decrease, that's in accordance with our observation. Using the formalism that we introduced, we can conclude that all the entanglement quantities that we are interested in are of the following form. So first, the mutual information between A and the subset of system is still logarithmic, but here you have some scaling dimensions that is related to the boundary condition changing operators rather than the scaling dimension of the twist operators. And you also have the mutual information between A and B is some polynomial decay with some exponent, which is maybe not the lowest scaling dimension of the CFT. It could be other scaling dimension of the CFT, which comes from fusing two of the boundary condition changing operators. And finally, for the negativity, you can also conclude that it must also be the logarithmic scaling with some coefficient. And importantly, this coefficient can be zero. But the point is that this delta is also some scaling dimension of boundary condition changing operators. If it is equal to zero, that means that your boundary condition doesn't change. So this universal formula doesn't change after your CFT is subject to noise. But what can change is really this exponent. They are really related to the boundary universality class that I just described. Let's see some examples. For the IC model, we can apply the four defacing channels, and then you look at the mutual information. You see that all the mutual informations, they seem to be logarithmic, and they seem to have the same exponent. Whether or not you apply defacing or not, or whether or not you are and it doesn't also depend on this direction of the defacing. But on the other side, if you look at the mutual information between two distant intervals, then you suddenly see some difference that like this delta these scaling dimensions they can be different across different defacing channels. That's numerical result, but we also have some analytic understanding. We can identify what this operator is in the CFT. But the most striking consequence is on the negativity that really only characterize the quantum entanglement. So classical correlations can really not change too much when you just apply the defacing channel, but quantum correlations, they can change a lot. So that is characterized by the change of the discontinuous change of this scaling dimension that appearing in the expression of negativity. So for example, if you apply the X defacing, even if you just apply a little bit, Here we apply like a 0.2, I think a 0.1, yeah, 0.1 strength of diffusing, then your negativity just becomes very close to zero, becomes an area loss state. But if you apply Y diffusing, even if you apply a very strong Y diffusing, here you apply 0.4 strength, then you know, it's the scaling of negativity is just the same as the ground state, just shifting by a constant, which means that you almost keep all the quantum correlations. And the Z is kind of marginal, which where when you tune this the decoherence strength, you tune it from 0.2, 0.2, and 0.4, you see that the slope just continuously change, and that's exactly the feature of marginal deformations. Yes, thanks. Okay, so yeah, so here we are observing a very striking consequence that when you apply the diffusing channel in different directions, you observe a phase transition in terms of these entanglement properties, especially in the negativity. So what does this mean? Okay, but before that, before I discuss what that means, let me mention that this protocol, this phenomena can be observed experimentally even in nowadays. So basically, the way is that you have your ground zero state and you do a state preparation which is already achieved in a current quantum computer, and then you prepare the ground state of the CFT and you apply some channels, and these channels you can apply it manually or you just wait. You know, there's natural decoherence in your quantum computer. Yeah, and then you do something called shadow tomography, where you apply some random unitary gate and do some measurement. I will not go into this part, but I will just mention that all these negativity quantities, they can be, and although also the entanglement entropies, they can be computed in the same way. Okay, so what does this mean? Let's consider a CFT as a quantum error correction code. So how does it define? Like we have a bunch of low energy eigenstates, which of the CFT Hamiltonian and this energy related to scaling dimension, that's well known. And the code subspace is defined as you know, the span of several low energy eigenstates. And in order to characterize the code properties, you need to consider something called coherent quantum information and define in the following way, where you first entangle your code subspace with an auxilla and you apply the diffusing on your system and then compute this coherent information quantity. And it's known that the code is approximately decodable or the error is correctable only if you know, this coherent information is close to the maximal value. And what we can show is that if you have a relevant defacing in the sense that we described earlier, it becomes a not correctable error, which means that this coherent information becomes zero. Not correctable is very natural because we have seen that the quantum correlations disappears in this relevant defacing case. So yes, and so it makes sense that it's not correctable. On the other side, if you have irrelevant defacing, then it is correctable. But there's only one caveat, which I can discuss further after the talk, is that you have to be careful with the replica trick. Yeah, we are making statement about replica limit, but actually what we can only control is the with is higher replica index. Considering that caveat, we can make a very we can feel a very sharp distinction in terms of the code properties when you apply the defacing channel to the CFT. Okay, so that's the summary. We have new mixed state, new mixed state phases by applying channels to CFTs, and they are distinguished by long-range entanglement. These phases, they are connected by the RG flow, and they can be realized on a quantum computer. And as a side, we conclude that CFT is the biased quantum error correction code that behaves very differently when you apply different defacings. And there are also other things that we can do. And in particular, I want to mention that the replica limit is a very subtle one. If you want to talk about it later, I'm very happy. Another thing I want to mention is that we want a general definition of mixed state phases, which is not available yet. I'll be most interested for condensed matter community. Okay, with that, I will stop and take questions.
Thank you very much. Let's start in the audience again. Can you just say a quick word about what is the idea behind this general definition of mixed state phases?
You mean the physical reason behind why there's a...
Like, is it like a, you want them to be adiabatically connected with a Lindblad that doesn't close a gap, or like, is there something like that that you have in mind?
Right, yeah. So yeah, there's already mixed definition of mixed state phases, which is like, finite depth Lindbladians. Here we are making making it like a more general statement, which says that two mixed states are in the same phase, if and only if there is a finite depth channels connecting A to B and also B to A. That is kind of very close to the idea of quantum error correction. Like when you go from A to B, you introduce some errors, but you can also go into B to A. That means that this error is correctable. So yeah, that's the idea behind mixed state phases.
Maybe some online questions or?
Yeah, there's an online question. Alexander, do you wanna unmute?
Hey, sorry. Thanks for the talk. This was wonderful. Maybe this is silly or off channel, but anyway, I was just wondering if there was a way to promote the background TFT, or in this case, like the trace operator, something like a multi-trace operator, and then perform this same expansion, maybe in the limit where that trace is approaching some copy of some fundamental trace algebra. And I guess I was just wondering, like, so I guess my question is, what are the fundamental phrases on, like, the constraints on the state preparation? And if there's any perturbative modes that are hiding in the state preparation, would that be able to get something like a subleading theorem out of these types of graphs or look for O1 functions?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I cannot really hear very clearly, but if I understand your question correctly, you want some perturbative statement of why, of why there is a phase transition in terms of the direction of the defacing. And we can understand this, in terms of this figure. So basically, this boundary condition can be think of as turning on some interactions on the boundary, and in some cases, when you count the scaling dimensions, these interactions can be relevant or irrelevant, and that's exactly the same thing as the boundary condition here. So. Yes, there are two equivalent ways of describing these boundary conditions. One way is by the state, but the other way is by turning on some interactions on the boundary. You can actually if you turn on the interactions, you can actually compute how this all the quantities flow. But we didn't do that.
Okay. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah.
More online questions? Or?
Not online. I have a question.
Well, no, after self, okay.
I think this might be related. This is like a much less sophisticated version of Brian's question. Yeah. I mean, I didn't understand whether this connection to RG flow is supposed to be an analogy, or is it that these measurements have triggered, and this dephasing has triggered an RG flow, which has maybe an infrared fixed point, which is the ground state of another Hamiltonian or something like that, or this is just kind of a, like it's metaphorically similar to an RG flow.
Okay, cool. Yeah, if you have the G theorem, then of course it's the RG flow that is familiar. But be careful that this mixed state is not an RG flow in terms of the, in terms of the parameters in the Hamiltonian. But this fixed point that we have, it's not really clear that whether they are the fixed point of some Lindbladian or not. Presumably, even if they are the fixed point of some Lindbladian, this Lindbladian would be gapless because this state has long range correlations. I think the very different thing of a mixed state from a pure state is that mixed state can have long-range correlations without having long-range entanglement, but pure state not. So that's kind of why it makes it so hard to define mixed state phases and mixed state RG flow.
I see, but it's a fixed point in the conventional sense of you know, if you zoom out, it looks the same?
Yeah. That's exactly what this figure is telling you, right? Like, for example, this boundary entropy, right? So if you increase the system size, right, you see that only this point and this part, they doesn't change with system size.
I see.
Other part, if you are in this direction, in the middle, then you see the RG flow.
Right.
Yeah, that part is the same. Like, it's about zooming in and zooming out and how the state responds to that. Yeah, but it's not clear how you can relate it to, you know, some parameter change in the Hamiltonian.
Okay, if there are no more questions, let's thank Yijian and the speakers for the morning session again.